This is the Michael K. Show.
For the first time in 44 years, baseball has a Subway Series, a real Subway Series, a Subway World Series.
So Derek Jeter moves into the leadoff spot, and he goes after the first pitch, way back left field. Derek Jeter, he's on and out. Goodbye, home run.
We had a lot of success, and it was really the relationship of those teams that we had. And I always like to talk about the fact that they never got tired of winning, and they never stopped to admire what they accomplished because they had more to do.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And 2000, 20 years ago, it was the Yankees' 26th title. Their 27th, obviously, was in 2009. And the man who managed them to four of those 27 titles is the Hall of Famer, Joe Torre, who joins us now. Joe, it's Michael and Don. How are you and your family doing?
Well, we're doing pretty well, Michael. I hope you guys are doing the same.
We are. We are. One thing, though, I wonder if you felt like this today. I felt very old today, Joe, when I saw that Derek Jeter just turned 46. This is his birthday. I mean, Derek Jeter's 46.
Tell me about it. He still calls me Mr. T. So, yeah. 46. How quick did that time go? At least it did for me, Michael.
Well, you know what? It goes fast when you're having fun. So, obviously, that's been going on now. I was so honored that you asked me to be part of the 20th anniversary show that will be on Yes on Sunday at 8. It benefits your foundation, and it had 8 guests, and I moderated it. And, Joe, I thought it was so cool, and I thought it turned out so great because there were so many great stories. Did you feel the same way?
I really did, Michael, and it was only fitting that you did it because, you know, it gave us all a chance to reminisce and look back on what was probably the most stressful of all the World Series. I mean, when George Steinbrenner trusted me with his team back in 96, I'm not sure he trusted me at that point in time yet, but you know, I could have never imagined, you know, 5 years later, we talk about 4 World Series and 5 years. It's really been magical. And, you know, the best part about it is you keep the, you stay in touch with the people who were with you, too. And that's what's great.
You know, you bring up 2000 and the stress because you got to beat the Mets, right? And that's such a difficult thing. And I would think, and this is coming from a Met fan, so maybe I'm biased, but I would think a lot tougher 5-game series than meets the eye, right?
No, Don, no question. I mean, it. You know, as I said, and we talk about it on the show, you know, the first one, it was my first one, over 4,000 games back in 96. And then, you know, we lose a tough one. The next year we lose to Cleveland. And then, you know, the 98 magical team, the 99 against the Braves again. But when you come against the Mets, it doesn't matter who the better team is. We're supposed to win. You go out, you drop your dry cleaning off. That's what they're talking about. You know, you go get a cup of coffee. That's what they're talking about. And it's just stressful right from the time you open your eyes till you know, the time you go to sleep.
And I don't think it's too much hyperbole, Joe, to say the other 3 championships would have been forgotten in George Steinbrenner's eyes. And boy, he would have been really ticked at you if you lost to the Mets.
Oh, tell me about it. I got to tell you a funny story. My first year, and let me explain. In my first year, this was a bonus for me. I had managed 3 teams, played for the 3 teams that I managed, because I was fired by all those 3 teams. But here I am getting this job, and, you know, and then the end of spring training, the last week, we were going to play the Mets to finish up spring training, and then we were going to open in Cleveland. And I said to George, and I was just kidding with him, I said, George, if you had your choice winning 2 out of 3 against the Mets or 2 out of 3 against Cleveland, which one would you choose? And he said, don't ask me that question. So And that was before interleague, you know. But it just gives you an idea that, you know, George always looked at it as embarrassment if he couldn't beat, you know, the Mets. And then, of course, later on, Tampa Bay.
Well, what I was getting at, Joe, not just the stress of George and having to deal with a team in your own city, but winning a series in five in which you win an extra innings in game one, a one-run game in game two. I mean, that could have easily went longer, and the Mets were not close to winning, but for losing in five games, were pretty much in that series.
The Mets were a scary team. They had a, you know, an offense. They had guys who weren't, you know, you never heard of, who were significant players. You know, Zeal had a great series. You know, of course, Piazza, he always scared you. And you, the close games, he becomes so much more of a weapon when you realize he's either up next or you know, up next inning or whatever it is. You got to always keep track of where he is. But for sure, the games were close. The one thing about our ball club, and I think Michael remembers this, pretty much, you know, we played close games a lot. That's why our bullpen was so significant for us. And, you know, it got to the point where I got spoiled too, Don, because when I'd get to the fifth or sixth inning of a game, you know, to me, one-run lead was enough. It was enough. And, you know, I never had that luxury before, but it was really a security blanket for us. And, of course, you know, when Mo became our closer, then it was just like phone it in.
Now, we talk about a lot of the important parts of that series on the show, which you could see on Yes, 8 o'clock on Sunday. Timo Perez not scoring on Todd Zeal's ball off the wall, which could have changed the course of the series. Paul O'Neill's unbelievable bat against Benitez in game one. And then the last at bat of the series, Joe, when Piazza hit a ball that everyone thought was gone. And you could just watching Mo all those years, when he gave up a hit or a big hit, you could see his body like twitch a little bit. And he actually twitched. I think he thought that was gone. But, you know, on that night, I guess all the baseball gods are on your side because it landed in Bernie's glove.
Well, I know one thing. I jumped out. I said no, because I was sure it was out of the ballpark. And then I'm watching some footage later on, and I see Paul O'Neill's expression from right field. And before that inning started, I don't know if you noticed, Michael, but Jeter went in to talk to Mariano. You know, we had a couple of run lead, and he was basically, you know, just make sure we don't get to this guy. You know, and here comes this guy with you know, with a runner on. So, yeah, I thought the ball was out of the ballpark. And then, you know, to look at it, and Bernie didn't even, he wasn't even on the warning track.
So it's amazing, though. So, like, when you guys did your advance meeting before the series, it was all about, we're not letting Piazza beat us.
Well, you had, except they were a good team. You know, right. And when you get a close game, you know, you have so many good hitters on that team. So, when it comes down to a close game, a single could be lethal also. But you never wanted to put Mike Piazza in a situation where he can, you know, where he can beat you. So, you know, you love him leading off every inning. That would be wonderful. And in that particular inning, what was he, the fourth or fifth hitter, you didn't want him up with the time, the game in his hands. And basically that's what had happened.
What pops into your head when you think about the Clemens Piazza incident?
Well, it was so, I think, to this day, and, you know, I can't convince everybody, because it started back at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, Roger hit him with a fastball that jumped in on him. And, you know, it pretty much started there. And then I'm on the bench, obviously, in the first base side at Yankee Stadium. And I see what happens, you know. And first of all, as you know, Roger is sky high. He gets pumped up for a game. And when the bat went back to him, he was, you know, basically he had to field it. It was right at him. And he threw it toward our dugout. And, you know, Piazza, it wouldn't even have been an issue, Don, if Piazza had known where the ball was. If Piazza had known where the ball was, he wouldn't have run because it was very, you know, it was foul. But he hit it, and he didn't know where it was, and he started running toward first base, which is the right thing for players to do. So it made it look like he was throwing it at Piazza. And I like to make sense of things. I mean, you know, if he's doing this and the umpires, you know, think he's doing this on purpose, he gets thrown out of a World Series game. None of that makes sense to me, you know. And so, but again, you know, I can't fault the media for, you know, for making it what it could have been.
Well, also, Roger didn't help himself when he's saying, I thought it was the ball. Well, if he thought it was the ball, you wouldn't be throwing it at Piazza.
Yeah, well, you know, and he thought it was the ball, but he wouldn't have been throwing it in the dugout either. Trust me.
All right, so let's get
Hey, Michael, yeah. After that half inning, and the reason, you know, I felt strongly about how I felt is Mel Stottlemyre, who had been hospitalized, you know, with multiple myeloma. And he was in my office with George Steinbrenner, and he said, Mel said to me later on that Rocket went in after that inning, and he had tears in his eyes. He was just crying, explaining to Mel what had just taken place out there. So, you know, that to me was, you know, sort of validated what I was thinking.
Now, the reason that we did this show for Sunday is because your Safe at Home Foundation, you can't have the events that you normally would because of what's going on in the world. And what we're doing is we're trying to raise money on Sunday for people that are watching. And also a lot of your sponsors that have been with you a long time, like Bigelow Tea and all the rest, they're part of it as well. So please tell us exactly how people can get involved with this.
Yeah, Bigelow Tea has been so consistent with us at Safe at Home, and it was great. Yeah, they'll be a text a pledge, and I don't have the number in front of me. You'll have it on Sunday. But if all else fails, you just go to joetorre.org, and all the information is there to make a donation. And you know, Michael, we rely heavily on our events, you know, and we had to cancel our April event in Los Angeles. We had to cancel our golf tournament. And, you know, and now, you know, it looks like we had moved the April event in Los Angeles to September, and it looks like that's probably doubtful at this point in time. And then, of course, we're still hopeful for our November event. But it's you know, since we basically rely on that income, you know, we just need to be able to keep our programs going. And the only way we're going to do that is for, you know, for our donations.
And ironically enough, Joe, important. The thing that is so important to articulate is because people are forced to be at home, then domestic violence situations go up and up and up all the more. And that's why a program like this is so important.
Yeah, it is important, Michael, and I don't know if we had, because we're able to stay in touch with a number of our students, and we go through the schools to have that be the case. And an enormous help to us was the fact that, you know, we have safe rooms in schools. We name them after my mom, Margaret's Place, because my mom was abused by my dad, and it affected me, and that's why we started Margaret's Place and try to end the cycle through education. So what we do for the summer months, because there's no school, we always give the students a toolkit. Basically, they know they have somebody to reach out to if there are issues during the summer where there's no school. And so this was worked to our advantage a little bit that, you know, our students were used to you know, having knowing how to get in touch with us. So there had been several students. In fact, we had a couple of students that were able to get out of abusive situations during this pandemic.
Wow.
So I'm just thankful that, you know, we were able to get them that information so they could reach out for help.
to a baseball point, Joe, we were just discussing, you know, the 60-game schedule. And in 98, you had this unbelievable year, but you started off slow. You went out the West Coast, what, you lost four of the first five games. If you're in a 60-game schedule and you're about to lose four of five, would you manage differently knowing that you only had 56, 55 games after that as opposed to having a full season?
Yeah. You pretty much have to go toward, you know, postseason time, you know, where you really have to try to win every game. Yeah, you know, you can't say, well, this game, that's right, we can give this one away, maybe we'll win the next, you know. No, you need to win every game. You get a shortened schedule, and it's, you know, as we've had periodic calls with managers, you know, during this pandemic, and the one thing about it, they're all on equal footing. Everybody's in a pennant race come July. And then that's not always the case. So it'd be interesting if somebody's going to steal a playoff spot away from somebody else. Because the one thing about our sport, you play 162 games, and you know the best teams usually get to the playoffs because it always bears out over that season. But when you start playing, you know, 50, 60 games, you can steal something. And I you know, those managers who are hoping their team is good, they have a chance to get out of the box and, you know, win seven or eight games and all of a sudden get a jump on people. But again, I think the most important thing we concern ourselves with is that, you know, we get the postseason and we're able to play the postseason because, you know, this pandemic and this coronavirus has been, you know, obviously something we've never experienced before, and just hopefully we can get through it.
Joe, I know that the bunt is looked at terribly now in the way baseball is played, but if you're managing this season and you go into extra innings and they put a guy at second, are you bunting him over to third? Obviously, if Mike Piazza's up, you're not, but are you going to bunt him over to third?
I'm going to get him over to third, yeah. I mean, there are certain hitters who probably are better off, you know, like a Derek Jeter. You'll let him, he knows what he has to do. Whatever is comfortable against this particular pitcher, I'll let you do, mm-hmm. you know. But you're right. If you 3, 4, 5 guys are up, you're going to get three shots at that, you know, knocking in the run. But for the most part, I'm getting the third base. Yeah, I mean, if I have a situation where the bottom of the order is up there, that man's going to be at third base. So, you know, you're going to be practicing in these 3 weeks of spring training or whatever it is. There's going to be a lot of bunting practice, I would like to believe, for those extra inning games.
Would you have had a real tough time, Joe, in the land of analytics? It was starting to happen right before you got out, but now it's full bore. Would you have had a difficult time managing that way?
I really can't eliminate, Michael, the personal touch and looking at somebody in somebody's eyes. I know a lot of things, you know, the analytics will tell you and you need all the information that you can get. But I don't think the analytics told us that the Cleveland Indians were going to tie the game up in the seventh game of the World Series with a home run from the last guy on the bench. And you know, things like that. That's what makes our sport so special, is because you never know who that hero is going to be day in and day out. You know what the big guys are going to do pretty much over the course of a year. But when you get down to the one game or two games, anybody in that lineup could be the hero. I mean, go back to Bucky Dent. And, you know, there were two other homers in that game. One was by Reggie and one was by Yastrzemski. So, you know, that's what makes our game great. But I could not have, you know, gotten a playbook and say, this is what we're going to do regardless of what happens, Michael. You're right. I couldn't allow myself to do that. And I just feel it takes something away from the manager if the players believe that, you know, he's just following a playbook. I really do.
I cannot emphasize enough how good this Sunday is going to be. It's 8 o'clock. Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation. It's the 20th anniversary of the Subway Series. Let me give you who's on the show. Don, you're going to love this. Okay. Joe's there, David Cohn, John Franco, Al Leiter, Posada, Bernie Williams, Todd Zeal, and Bobby Valentine. And Joe, the strange thing to me, Bobby Valentine was into computers before Steve Jobs, and he was the one guy that had trouble with his Zoom. I couldn't believe it. He was the one guy. Even Bernie figured it out.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's like he had to lay on his side for a while so we could see him. Yeah, but he apologized. Bobby sent me a text after that and apologized for the mayhem he caused. But as it turned out, we you know, we had some fun with it, too.
And I do have the number, Joe. I got the number. So
okay,
you
please.
Can see the donations, obviously, when you watch at 8 o'clock on Yes on Sunday. But please write this down, because this is the way this foundation is going to move forward until we can have events again. It's 646-846-9505. Again, 646-846-9505. You could text any amount and a special message to that number. And Joe, obviously, is in the Hall of Fame. He's got those four World Series. But this is such an important part of your legacy, Joe. And you've, I mean, you're keeping people safe because of what you went through as a kid. And I think it's a really important thing that you do, and Allie as well, your wife.
Well, thank you, Michael. And I think we all have a sensitivity to young people, knowing that they're our future, and we're just helping them get on the right path.
Well, tune into the Joe Torre Safe at Home special, 8 o'clock on Sunday on Yes. It's going to be a fun watch. I guarantee you that. Fun stories. Everybody really was into it. And you'll see Bernie Williams with a Santa Claus beard, which is amazing. So, Joe, thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. And please, you and your family, stay safe.
Thank you, Michael. Take care, Don.
Take care.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.